Each year in the month of June, on June the 24th, is celebrated a feast in honor of the birthday of St. John the Baptist. And St. John the Baptist is among only two other people, that have their birthday celebrated by the liturgy of the Catholic Church: Jesus our Lord on Christmas Day and Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin Mary, in September. And he is a very interesting person. You look at his life and you know his birth was heralded by prophecy, by messages from an angel, and his birth is a very big deal. It's something very important. When he was in the womb of his mother, St. Elizabeth, there was a manifestation of his connection to the mystery of salvation of the human race in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he's got this mission to prepare people to welcome the Lord Jesus. And he does this by calling people to repent of their sins. And this actually gives us a really positive outlook on the whole idea of repentance. Repentance seems like such a negative thing. You're told you gotta stop this, you gotta change that, you can't do this. And it feels like it's a negative move in our hearts. But the mission of John the Baptist was to prepare people to welcome Christ, to allow the fullness of the mystery of the Trinity into their hearts. And so this call to repentance is actually a positive move. It's a move to keep our hearts open to welcoming the Spirit of Christ. John the Baptist is and was a very important person, and very popular. A lot of people come to him to hear his message of repentance, to be baptized in the river. And then all of a sudden, he gets in a fight with a political ruler named King Herod. And when you think of the perspective of the plan of salvation, King Herod is an obscure person. Even though in the world at the time he probably seemed really important, in the plan of God's kingdom, he's really small. And so John the Baptist gets in a fight with this insignificant person, King Herod, over adultery. And he preaches against the sin of adultery again and again, and King Herod don't like to hear that, and neither does his adulterous wife he's with. And he has St. John the Baptist imprisoned. He kind of retaliated against St. John the Baptist. And in a way, it kind of manifests his guilt. Because if King Herod didn't care about the message of John the Baptist, if he would just ignore it, then it would not have been a big deal for him. But he has St. John the Baptist imprisoned because he's sick and tired of John the Baptist's message against adultery. And eventually, it gets even worse for John the Baptist. But look at his life at that point. His birth had been heralded, and he had this great, powerful mission in the sight of God, and it seems like he's ruined it. He got distracted in a fight with someone that really didn't deserve that kind of distraction or that attention. And finally, St. John the Baptist is killed. He's beheaded. And this is something that we have to come to see. He seems to pick a fight with someone who's stronger than him. And that seems totally unwise. We don't want to do that. We don't like to pick a fight with people who are stronger than us. We try to talk our way out of it. John the Baptist was probably a good speaker. He was a great preacher. He probably could have talked his way out of the prison and could have preserved his life, but he didn't. And he is put to death. He seems like he's totally foolish because he got caught in this distracting fight and he wouldn't back down. But he's not foolish, because Jesus Christ, our Lord, honors St. John the Baptist, refers to him as a great man. And if Jesus refers to someone as a great man, then that someone is indeed a great man. Now, we have to imitate the lives of the saints, but we might not have to imitate everything about them. For example, John the Baptist, his call to repentance is something that we don't have to imitate all the time. If we did that, we would have no friends, no relationships. And we might call people to repentance who are not in need of repentance, because we don't often have clear judgment about situations. But there is something about St. John the Baptist that we have to imitate all the time. This is something that we can imitate, and we must. And we must imitate it no matter the cost. And what it is his fidelity to what is good and what is right. His fidelity to what is good and to what is right. Now, some years ago, this is going to sound like I'm going off the topic, but I'm not. I went to see this great monster truck that I love called the USA 1, and I met the owner, the builder of the truck, and the original driver of the truck, Mr. Ever Jasmer, and I learned a lot about the monster truck sport. And what I learned was that when they started the monster truck sport way back in the 1970s, that it was a genuine competition, that the drivers and the builders of the trucks would try to bring out the best in their trucks and would try to win the championship. They'd have a championship series, they'd have a point system, and it was a real genuine competition. And sports are something that can bring about the best in people and can call people to also a greater humanity, because in sports you have to practice good sportsmanship. You know, you have to respect your opponent. You can't be against them. You can, you know, fight them on the field, but you have to recognize their human dignity. And this was a sport called the motorsport, the monster truck races and competitions. And what I learned is that the promoters of this sport eventually tried to move this sport into an empty show. They just wanted to decide who was going to win the race, who was going to crash, how they're going to crash. And they wanted to stage these rivalries between the drivers that were just like play acting. And there is a place for that, but that movement from a genuine competition to a show, what it did is it turned the monster truck sport to no longer a sport, but simply into entertainment. Now, sport is entertainment, but sport is also, a real sport is also competition. It's also something that is challenging. It's something that really can bring out the best in people. This movement, the USA 1 team and Mr. Jasmer did not like, because it went in a negative direction. Now, imagine if this movement of going from a real, genuine, honest, upfront competition into an empty show that's already staged happened in football. For example, in the NFL, suppose you watch the Super Bowl and you with your friends and you all say, oh, this guy's gonna win and this guy needs to play that position and who's gonna be in the Super Bowl and all that, and you're really excited about it. Super Bowl happens, then you find out that 5 years ago it was already decided in a secret meeting who was gonna be in the Super Bowl in the year 2019, who was gonna win, who was gonna lose, what the score was gonna be, who was gonna be injured, how they were gonna be injured, how long the injury would last. Imagine this kind of movement into an empty show happened in hockey or baseball in the World Series in America, or in soccer throughout the world. Imagine if, you know, how popular soccer is today. Imagine if the promoters of soccer took it over and decided who's gonna win. And all the fans weren't told this, and they all went to these games and paid all this money and, you know, rooted for all their teams and studied the game and realized that this was totally staged. If that happened, you would feel that something's wrong. You would feel this is not right. And that is what Mr. Jasmer with USA 1 felt that happened in the monster truck sport. Well, sports are one thing. Apply this movement from a genuine, upfront, honest activity to other areas of life, a movement into an empty show. Apply it to police. Imagine if in the police force, instead of following the laws, instead of following the principles of justice, they had a secret meeting and already decided who could be arrested and who couldn't, who would be treated fairly before the law and who wouldn't, who would be protected even if they did wrong and who wouldn't. Imagine if this happened in the medical field and you go to your doctor and the doctor acts like they care for you, but they're really bought and paid for by some other secret organization and they don't really care about your health and they give you advice that they know has nothing to do with you, but they don't tell you that. You would feel that that was unjust if that would happen. Imagine if it happened in the church, in the priesthood. If you had priests who were not faithful to their mission, but they didn't tell anybody, and they little by little began to erode the faith or began to go down paths that were not Christian. Imagine if this happened in the world of education, where instead of teaching the children the truth, the teachers have a meeting and say, we're not going to let them think. We're going to shape their minds according to our hidden agenda. We won't tell them we're doing it, but we're going to do that. You could apply this movement from a genuine upfront action to an empty show to every single activity by humanity. And what happens is there would be corruption. Because if members of any of these organizations and others were not faithful to what is true and right, then it would be taken over by those who really don't consider goodness as a valuable thing. You can see that in sports. If you really were into the sport and saw this movement into an empty show where the whole thing was totally staged and nobody was told that it was totally staged, then you'd feel something's wrong. And all the other areas of life, police and doctors and priesthood and teaching and media and every other activity, construction, what happens if it moves in that direction and nobody speaks out against it, then corruption is the order of the day. Now back to St. John the Baptist, his fidelity to what is right and true and good in every situation is what our example has to be that we must follow. We can be faithful to what is true and good and right. We could be in any organization, you could be in your job, and you see on the outside, everything is on the up and up, everything is true and honest, but then you get involved in the system you're a part of, and you realize that things are going on that are unjust, that could be illegal, immoral, and there's like an unwritten law of, you can't question this. Well, if you follow that unwritten law, then you're not following the true God anymore. They've created a false idol for you. And that false idol is, don't question when things are wrong. This example of St. John the Baptist is characteristic of being faithful to what is true and good all the time is something very necessary for us. Because if we are not faithful to what's true and good, if we just go along to get along and we try not to question the system that seems to be so powerful and is very often motivated by a love for money, then we become part of the problem. We become part of the corruption. We could be like fearful of retaliation. We can't do that. We got to be fearful of God. We got to fear God more than we fear King Herod. John the Baptist's role model is like that. He doesn't fear King Herod. He fears God. And his fear of God is one of a son to his father. He don't want to go against God's will because he know God's way is true and that God loves him. Now, the life of St. John the Baptist shows us that if we are faithful to what we should be and what God wants us to be, then we might be hated by those who are not so faithful. And this doesn't really have to do with many moral issues, but it has to do with perhaps what's going on in your workplace. There could be something that is subtly, little by little, moving in a direction that is not good, and you question it. You could see something that's very immoral. You say, well, I got to question it. That's not right. That shouldn't be going on in the system I work for, whatever your position is. And then you start to get hated. You get retaliated against, you get opposed. And that experience is not pleasant. If you've ever been in a situation where you were faithful to what's right in the situation you're working in, and you were retaliated against because of that, you were hated because of that, it's not pleasant. It's very hard. You start to feel very lonely. You start to doubt yourself. You start to question your stance on what's right, true, and good. And then you experience a temptation, the temptation to back down, the temptation to give up your fidelity to what is true and good. And if you do that in that situation, you're going to start doing it in every situation in your life. And that's not what St. John the Baptist does. Remember, Jesus said that St. John the Baptist was a great man. And we want to be part of that greatness. So we cannot give in to that temptation. Now, it's hard to be hated when you're faithful to what is right and true and good in your place of work, in your relationships, in whatever you're doing. And how do we find the strength to persevere? Because we have to live this whole lifetime of being faithful to what is right and good, and experiencing at one time or another, to one degree or another, opposition because of our fidelity to what's good and right and just. Well, we got to be like St. John the Baptist. St. John the Baptist knows that God sees all we do. That's true. God sees everything. And we have to try to live under the vision of God, not under the vision of whatever corrupt system we're fighting. St. John the Baptist did not live under the vision of King Herod, even though on the outside it looked like King Herod was watching him. It's like, I'm watching you, John the Baptist, don't you try anything. But God's watching every one of us. And John the Baptist knew that. And he lived his fidelity to what's true and good under the gaze of the Lord. And so, brothers and sisters, when we think of this great saint, St. John the Baptist, we can imitate his fidelity to what is true and good and right in every situation. We can't back down from this fidelity, even if the whole world tells us to. We've got to be faithful, because God has sent Christians into this world like salt. That example that Christ used in the Gospels, like salt that's sprinkled over the whole world, to lift up the world from the darkness of evil and sin and despair. And if faithful Christians who are faithful to Christ in their words and when they go to church back down in their fidelity to what's right and true and good, then the world sinks into that corruption. And we become part of the problem, and we deserve a lot of the blame when stuff blows up in the media of how bad things have gotten in whatever system you work in. Every human organization is affected or afflicted by this temptation to cut corners, to break the system's rules, to not follow what's true and good. And that's where faithful Christians have to imitate St. John the Baptist. Even when it's difficult, remember that you are in your situation by God's providence. God sees what you do, and you want to live under the vision of God and allow this vision of God to inspire you. Seek to live in a way pleasing to God in all things. If you do this, then you will be living that greatness that was honored by Jesus Christ the Lord. God bless you.